Elicor, I am sitting on that bench we built on the edge of my mother's garden. Do you remember? We made it with wrought iron legs and wood from the apple tree that fell after she passed. The marks where we sat in the wet paint are still here. I guess Lapis couldn't get herself to paint over those memories. I'm sitting on your side of the bench now. The early till soil mist is lifting off the fields. I'm just trying to see from your view. Trying to see why you left. I'm sorry I didn't write more. I'm sorry I didn't come home sooner. If I just knew. If I just knew you wanted to see the world and go on a journey, I could have taken you. The last three lines are scratched out. I'm sorry, that was uncalled for. Scratched out. You probably won't get this letter anyway. I don't even know why I'm writing it. Lapis said maybe I just need to take some space. Sit and think. Maybe stay in Rosewalk for a bit. I don't know. I guess I just miss you. I'm sorry I didn't write. The letter ends unfinished. Hello, it has been a while, and I'm gonna try something a little different. So, I've been meaning to give a little end of season one thing for Left Foot Forward for a while. I had been stumped on it because I had a solo session in mind where I really wanted there to be a realization or overcoming of something with Mina as she had a moment to be at home and kind of just go over everything that had happened over this last year, decompress that, and see where she is now. So in order to help me with that, I am actually going to try to play this game called Crossroads. It's a game by Sebastian Uet, which, let me go to their itch page right now so we can shout out where you can find this game if you want to take a look at it. If you want to find Crossroads, a game at the intersection of grief and hope, you can find it and a bunch of other games by Sebastian at sebastianua.itch.io. I will also leave a link to where that is in the episode description. So, a little context once we need it before we roll into the actual play, but first about Crossroads. Welcome to the Crossroads, an ethereal, extra-dimensional space that invites you to explore a loss that you have experienced. You are here because some part of you, however small and quiet, wants to be here. I want to take a moment to say that this is a game that will be about overcoming some sort of loss or grief. While I don't want to dwell too hard on that aspect of pain, just due to the nature of how the season has been, I do want to be able to touch on it in a sense to find out what it is that Mina is overcoming. And also to kind of show, I shouldn't be clicking back and forth here while I'm talking, but also to show a little bit more of that aspect of the Heath in Wanderhome that is this world itself overcoming. I mean, tragedy and loss and struggle and grief in many ways, healing after this war that had happened. There's a lot of aspects of Wanderhome kind of in the background that we don't always touch on. We've seen them here or there within the season of Left Foot Forward, but these aspects of this land that is recovering and healing. So perhaps we can touch on that a little bit, but I do want to, at the front, say that we may be talking about some sensitive topics as we go into it. This game is, by definition, going to be a discussion of these things. So just a content warning on that. If anything comes up while I am playing, I will put a more detailed content warning at the front of this, just to give anybody fair warning before any other sensitive topics may arise. At least in terms of my own safety, I have my own lines and veils, personal lines and veils kind of set up of things that I don't want to hit on. This is normally a game that can be played with up to 4 players. I'll be playing it solo, so I am a little more comfortable with my own boundaries and pushing those in a certain way than I would be if I was playing with other people. I am not worried about crossing the bound of another player, but I have my own lines in place, I guess is what I mean to say. The overarching theme of this game is grief, which could be related to the physical, literal absence of something or someone that is no longer present or accessible to you in your mundane life. Or it could be in the metaphorical sense, such as the feeling of having lost something, someone, or some part of yourself. It could also be a feeling of loss about an experience that you missed out on, or the worry that a chance you had is now unattainable forever. Your grief can manifest in many ways, and each of them is real. You are welcome here. The game will be played by drawing cards from a deck and reading a prompt and answering that prompt on the card. Normally, if I was playing this by myself, I would probably just be journaling those prompts and those answers, but I want to kind of record it here in this audio medium because I personally think audio medium records work a little better for me in general. And I want to be able to explore this aspect of Mina's story and share it with you all. The game says we will use the prompts to share stories, build and break bonds, and leave on a path of your own choosing. So I'll also be drawing a little bit of a map, I think. Some of the cards ask me to draw things that are in this literal place called the Crossroads. So I have a Roll20 page up with my decks of cards ready to draw and see where we go. So before we play, we're going to decide on themes and ideas we want to explore together and establish our safety tools. This game is great where it also sends links to the TTRPG safety toolkit and other places where you can find safety tools because they are mandatory for this play. A safe space to explore this is important. I guess I'll use this as a chance to kind of bring us into the scene a little bit, because there is a specific loss that Mina is focusing on in a literal sense, while it is kind of going to be outlining more metaphorical losses, I think. And to get that right out the gate, when Mina returns home, to Rosewalk, her hometown, outside that bay at the end of that last session. We left with Baldwin. We were just outside of Rosewalk after some fun time shenanigans. And emotional time shenanigans, I guess. But Mina returns home to find that her best friend Elicor has decided to leave Rosewalk and go out on a journey on their own. If you remember, throughout this whole season, Mina's big, I guess, emotional point was that she had made a promise to Elicor that when she was back from her journey, that she would work at a moth tower in Rosewalk with Elicor, provided that she doesn't find somewhere else to be. And coming home to A, find that Elicor is not there, but also coming home under the impression that maybe she doesn't want to settle down to a place just yet, is a point to get over. So while the literal loss there is not being able to see her best friend and kind of just two ships passing in the sea, missing each other. There is a little bit, I think, of a metaphorical loss, or not necessarily loss, but in that sense of letting go of that previous desire. Mina's trying to get over her emotions, I guess, to be able to let go that promise for real and have it be okay. So that's a little bit of the ideas I want to explore there, to give us some visuals after that last game. Mina was outside the limits of Rose Walk by that bay, and it's early in the morning. I think we see her walking in towards the city, slowly, a little bit sad for the different reason of saying goodbye to Baldwin, who she was building a pretty close relationship with, or was exploring relationships with. I don't know. There was some romantic tension, I think, there, but that's also maybe a loss that Mina is trying to overcome, unsure of what was truly there or not, or if that's a thing that she's interested in. But she has that book of poems that Baldwin gifted to her, and the sun hasn't quite risen yet, and there's some fog around, and she would go to Elicor's house to see if they're home, and try to, like, maybe get some emotional support from this goodbye with Baldwin, and to just kind of tell Elicor about her journey a little bit, but finds that Elicor is not there, and the usual disheveled room is kind of cleaned up a little bit, and books are put on shelves, and papers are filed away, and whatnot, projects that were unfinished are stored, and finds a letter that basically just says, I realize that I've been telling myself for so long to just wait and what I want will happen. But in hearing your journeys, I've decided I want to see the world, and it's not going to happen unless I start now. And Elicor says that Zay had found passage, I guess, on a, I picture it as a traveling inn, I think, on the back of a giant caterpillar. So very large, like bus-sized caterpillar, I think, that inches along the heath and has a big building on its back where there's merchants that run an inn. And they said they'd take Elicor in and help them around, because they were a little tentative about journeying by himself and having that support from a full group was really beneficial in order to get them out the door, which in the future I really want to get images of that. I just love the idea of a giant caterpillar with an inn on its back. But that aside, Mina finds that letter and gets a little bit deflated again. So she's very much in this place of, things are not accessible to me right now. There are things that I have to be saying goodbye to, and I don't want to, and I don't know how to deal with that. And I don't know where I want the play to start here, or where I want the visuals that I'm giving as this, like, preamble to end. But before I decided to play this game, I was going to have Mina go home and see her adopted mother. We get to meet the mom, whose name is Lapis Leftfoot Maple. She's an armadillo. I think she's relatively elderly. I don't know if I ever gave Mina's age, but I think Mina's probably like mid-20s or something, early 20s. And Lapis is definitely up there, probably like maybe even 60s or 70s. Mina's other mother, Sully, passed away before Mina went on her journey. well before, probably when Mina was like 18, something like that. Which I don't know if age in this year, in the Heath, tracks well to our age, to people age, but you know, things are vague enough that we can choose things ourselves. Nevertheless, early adulthood, I would say, is when Mina's mother Sully passed away. Sully was a big bunny, who was a former, I guess it would, based on timing, would be a deserting officer of the revolution, or the resistance. That's noted in the book. Her and Mina made their way to Rosewalk when Sully decided to leave, and Sully met Lapis, and then they formed a little family together, had a little farm. Giving a lot of backstory here, I guess, that I'd been sitting for about a year and a half, maybe almost 2 years in my head of what I wanted, just because I haven't been able to do this yet, so I'm very excited to get to share some of these things. But yeah, we would see the farmhouse where Mina lived before going on her journey. We'd meet Lapis and her armadillo, adoptive armadillo mom, and Lapis would, I guess, give her some advice. Well, eventually Mina would come to a brook behind the house and overlook the fields of this new till soil upon us, a mist rising off the ground as the sun is finally on its way up, and that is where she would begin to search, I guess, for her answers. And I had this image of callbacks for all of the guests that I had and all of their characters, because I just, none of this would have been possible without all of the guests, and I'm really, really grateful for all the stories we got to make. Alone, they're beautiful, and I've learned a lot about myself from playing through this season, and through Mina, and it's no joke to say that playing these games with all the guests helped that. So I really want to say thank you and use those callbacks to see, I guess, as a similar test for Mina to see if she has learned something from all of the wonderful people that she met throughout the Heath. So within this mist that I had chosen natures for this, and I had chosen the moor, and the folklore of the moor was the fallen army of the last queen, or the first queen, the fallen army of the first queen. So within this eerie mist, I guess, reminiscent to part of the tragedy that the Heath is going through or recovering from, Mina could have this weird magical jump to whatever this crossroads is, to see these ideas and review, I guess, her journey thus far and see where she gets from that. So yeah, we're gonna take that from there and continue along. Character creation, we've already kind of gone over that. We know Mina a little bit. This is the crossroads, and all paths lead here eventually. Think about our character's looks, yes. We know Mina's a big 6 foot tall, fluffy bunny. You know, orange scarf and all, newsy cap, a little purple tuft. But also consider their vibe and aura, which normally Mina is a little bit upbeat, and hopefully we can find a little bit of that at the end. But at the moment, she's a little bit laid back, sullen, or as the game has told us, in a little bit of grief. And then we choose our character's level of familiarity with the crossroads. We are either unfamiliar, familiar, or faithful. And this is just kind of like our knowledge of this existential, the crossroads place, as a place within the world, a place that people go to in order to get over, or not to get over, but to work through their grief and things like that. And I think Mina is familiar. She's heard of the crossroads in passing, perhaps through rumors or legends. But we don't know a lot of details. But I think I think what this is specifically is at, maybe not directly, but at least adjacent to that place that Mina and Eli from that second game visited going through the Hallow. We had met that god of like contemplation and waiting, the waiting as we called it, and came to that bridge that was like a little bit ethereal and trying to decide, tempt us one way or another of how we wanted to get through stuff. I think that maybe lives within the same space as the crossroads. Maybe we'll see that again. But at least in that otherworldly, dreamish sense, I think Mina is a little familiar. So probably once the mist kind of like coalesces around her, she gets that similar feeling as she's walking through. And then from here, we begin the gameplay. There's four decks of cards. There's the clouds, the forest, the void, and the stars. And they each have a collection of cards within them and various things called map prompt cards, which I'll draw cards and answer the prompts until I hit a map prompt card. When that happens, I will answer that prompt and draw something on my map representing that aspect of the crossroads. Then, after drawing, I move on to the next deck, and so on and so forth until I find a card called Name the Path You Take. That is when the game ends. I will write the name of the path I take on the map, and I'll describe what happens to my character when they go down that path. What they're thinking, what they look like as they go down the path, and what I share, what I plan to do next. Since I am playing solo, I'm not going to be asking these questions to other people, but I will be asking them to Mina as myself, I guess. I'll be reading the prompts and going along with that. So I'm going to take a moment to take a few breaths as we visualize our scene, Mina walking through the mist, searching for something as we enter the crossroads. The cloud. When the clouds part, you are here. At the center of the crossroads, there is a tree. These are your surroundings, the environment and people with you. And now I will draw my first card and answer it. Do you trust the other people who have gathered here? Why and why not? This is interesting. I'm gonna pull up a different thing to write on at the moment. So we are in the clouds. The mist. Eerie mist of the lost army of the first queen. In our first prompt, do you trust the other people who have gathered here? Why or why not? And Mina came here alone. I think that, at least in terms of the other players, there's no other player characters here. But I'm going to interpret this as the other people here are, I think it comes in and out, because we are almost within this visual of that army, that battle happening around her within this mist. So we'll see ghostly figures coming in and out of the clouds, I guess, surrounding the center, fighting back and forth, probably. I don't want to dwell too much on the actual combat, as I don't want to glorify the violence, but we'll definitely hear the sound of weapons clashing in the background. And I don't know if Mina trusts them. I think there's multiple ways that she is seeing this or feeling about this. Part of her doesn't trust that they're real, I guess. Well, that maybe isn't true, because she's seen spirits before. She's seen ghosts. Some of these we see as moths fluttering in and taking on these forms as they pass through the clouds, and then when they hit the clouds again, they flutter back out as moths while they take on more humanoid forms within this area of the crossroads, this circumference, or the circular area that Mina's in. She does not trust that those who are fighting for her. She is not somebody who, I guess, ascribes to violence in that manner. She doesn't trust that there is purpose to this fighting, I think. She doesn't like that. Yeah, so there are ghostly apparitions of the Queen's fallen army, still in the throes of battle with their foes, fluttering in and out, untethered spirits, lost as well, but still fighting for something. Mina does not trust them. She does not trust that there is a real purpose to their fight, whether that is whatever they were fighting in the past, or the fact that they're just these apparitions. It seems to be just needless violence. While it may still have been an unavoidable violence, it's needless nonetheless, so it's not really helpful to her, and she's a little stuck. And just like that, that's one card. Let's draw card number two and see what it is. What do you know of this place? I am going to take this prompt as a way to bring back that thing I just talked about being a familiar with the crossroads in that way. But these, to flow from scene to scene, we have these apparitions fighting back and forth. But we see a light within those clouds coming through. And it's a familiar light. A sparkle, one might say. In fact, Mina sees that it is sparkle. Whether another vision or not, Mina is brought back to the journey with the firelight Lila and her firefly Sparkle, who led them through the swamp. And now it seems that Sparkle wants to lead Mina somewhere else, maybe through this fog, this fighting, to something different. So maybe she wasn't even at the crossroads yet. Perhaps there's not a tree yet that it says the crossroads has. But we are finding our way there, and Sparkle is trying to lead us, so we're wading our way through these apparitions. A warm light from this firefly. And we cross that bridge again. That bridge from the waiting, that place where Mina and Eli had jumped to. I think maybe even we see visions of that as well. It's almost like Mina is watching her past a little bit, because we can get timey-wimey here. We've done it before. There's ghostly apparitions of Eli and Mina, deciding not to take the easy way across the bridge and walking along until they disappear into a fog and end up somewhere else. But this time, instead of disappearing into the fog, Mina keeps going. We keep walking across that bridge to get to the crossroad. Because what Mina knows about this place is that it is real and it does have a connection to her. And she has almost gotten here, but not quite yet. Because as we learned, there is power in waiting. And I think Mina had not done enough waiting back then. So I guess also what Mina knows out of that is there are some rules here. Like the Hallow, this place had rules to follow. So I think maybe she will take some more care in waiting for things here now and observing instead of acting, looking inwards instead of outwards, I guess. And maybe that means we'll see some more of these visions. Kind of getting through this. Let's see what's next. Let's draw another card. One of those present hurt you before. Who is it and what did they do? I'm still going to write this down, but I don't know if Mina has a direct answer to this. Well, other than, I think it's herself. Her actions, I guess, or lack thereof, or overaction has caused, not necessarily caused, but led a bit to the feelings that she's in. Or at least so she feels. She feels like because she was pursuing a thing, that led to this feeling of loss when she decided to act for herself over a previous plan. And I think that's all that we'll say on that. I don't want to dig any deeper into that right now. Mina feels she's the one that hurt herself by putting her journey first. She's, I guess, telling herself that she did not pay enough attention to the bond, and let Elicor get away. That is not the truth, but that is maybe what she feels right now, and she has that feeling of missing a friend being her fault. I do also want to stress a point here. Between Mina and Elicor, just considering, I think the term, the one that got away, it tends to be very romantic. I believe that there is not a romance in that sense between Mina and Elicor. I don't think they have a romantic relationship. They have a deep relationship. They have a personal relationship. They have an intimate relationship in the fact of being friends for so long. But it is a platonic relationship, just based off of the way that they experience the world and who they are. That's not to say that there are not other relationships that Mina or Elicor have been in, or that relationships of that nature are not within the Heath. Specifically queer relationships. There definitely are queer relationships all throughout this game and in this book. Mina and Elicor just don't have that based off of who they are, because there's a multitude of ways to have relationships, and love is expansive, so why not? But I do just want to say that, just because it came to mind, that that's not explicitly stated, and I'm not trying to do the popular media thing of being like, oh, they were just good friends. No. If they're dating, they're going to be dating, and I'm going to tell you that. but they just have a really deep friendship here in that platonic way. Because I do believe in the expansiveness of love and whatnot, and that doesn't have to be romantic. If we want to talk about some romantic tension, I think maybe we can get to that with Baldwin in that last episode. Maybe it wasn't explicit in the episode, but I think I definitely felt a little bit of that between Mina and Baldwin. So that's the stuff. But this, I don't know. I'm talking about it too much now, so I'm going to move on. But nevertheless, Mina feels that she's the one who ended up hurting herself. I definitely talked about that way more than I said I was when I started, so we're just going to go ahead and draw the next card, actually. Oh, boy. And the next card I drew is a map prompt. Okay, so this is going to be the last prompt for the clouds cards. A feature of this place stands out to you. Draw a landmark. Okay, The place that I'm in right now, at the end of this bridge, Mina is just coming out of this view of what she feels is her fault, and finally looking up at the end of this bridge. And a landmark here, you know what? We're going to have a moth tower, actually. Mina is a moth tender after all, and that's part of the view, part of the job. I think specifically, though, we are going to have that fallen moth tower that was in Borderlyn, where Mina met Early. Early Orchard was that other moth tender who, instead of delivering packages, ended up ferrying spirits from our realm to the next, utilizing moths as that vessel. So I think looking up at that moment, Mina sees this fallen moth tower, sees that greenhouse, and before we were seeing moths kind of flutter in and turn into these people having this battle, but I think now we see kind of the opposite. Maybe we see a view of some of those people within that smoke, or we hear that clash of metal, but when someone steps foot across the threshold of this, they turn into a moth that begins fluttering around this fallen moth tower. And perhaps sitting on the tower in the distance, Mina sees a shape that reminds her of Early. A large clock tower a large grandfather clock / backpack thing, with a hyena attached or carrying it, not attached in that way, playing a ukulele. So I think the thing that stands out, not only the landmark or not only the tower and the moths, but the ukulele coming from Early, so that the sound.
In a field of bones we lie, nothing grows but our woe. The soil is poisoned from the salt of tears. What we could share feeds no one. What was it for? Will they remember us tomorrow if we lay down our swords? Could have buried hatchets instead of kin. In a field of hope we dream, may the rains wash away what we've done.
Okay, so we've gotten through the clouds. Let me draw that on the map really quick. I think if I can use Roll20's drawing things very well, we'll see. And then let's see where we go next. We are going to put away our clouds card as we move on to the next part, the forest. A wind blows through the tree, stirring an unresolved memory of yours. Share the memory. If you'd prefer not to share the memory itself, describe your body language and movements as you remember it. So I think this is probably in line with that that song going on, that the memory that is stirred, which maybe it's not the tree at this moment, it's this tower. The wind is whistling through it, carrying that tune towards Mina, maybe as she begins to walk over. And it stirs that memory of early and the moths that they helped along the way. And she feels a bit more confident in herself, I think. At least in the ability to explore, because she remembers that while it might not have been her that was able to move past a thing, she helped some spirits move past. So there's something within her that has that capability. And let's draw this card. Have you shared this memory with anyone else before? If so, how is it different to sharing it here? Well, in a sense, Mina has shared it, in the fact that it was shared with Early as the memory was being created. So Mina experienced this memory with Early, which is different than it is now, because she's reliving it through she's reliving it through this crossroads. But the experience with Early was one of learning. Mina was learning that there was this new, different thing, this different form of moth tending than she knew. Well, now in this memory here, Mina is sort of experiencing herself, the act of being that part, being that thing. Well, having done that type of moth tending in this sense. Maybe we get a view of her actually going up to some of these moths that were fluttering around, and I don't know specifically what it is that they're looking for, but maybe Mina helps them in some way and they can pass on. So yes, Mina experienced this memory with Early. Mina has the memory of learning with Early. While here, Mina has the feeling of action and doing and confidence. Well, maybe competence at least. She has done the skill of this type of moth tender and helped some spirits move on. Our next prompt. How does remembering the memory change you now? So I think we've touched on this a little bit, but Mina is having these feelings of being able to do something, to help, and to have the ability, if not alone, to move on. So I'm not sure if there's any more than that, at least more active than what we've already said, but it's that building of that Mina is feeling. It's helping her. Maybe we see some more of these spirits that are coming in around as she's getting closer to the tower, that she feel that she's helping, and we see them fluttering away, in sparkles, I guess, showing that they're moving on. So each one of those that we see, Mina is learning a bit about things that help move on. She's getting the confidence. So she has a bit more of a confident stride as she approaches the tower. Yeah, so Mina has a more confident stride as she approaches the tower. She's helping more of these moths pass on and learning about what some are looking for as last wishes. Our next card. How does the wind feel on your body? I like this one because we know that Mina has a lot of hair, a lot of fur, very fluffy. So I think another large gust whistles through the tower. I think carrying that music away at this point, the vision of early there is no longer there. We still have the tower and a few of the moths, but there's the feeling of the hairs standing up on the back of your neck. Maybe not as literal in this case because Mina has a lot of that fur, but it's the same. Not, it's an eerie chill, I guess, but not in an eerie way. It's the feeling when you hear that part of a song that you get really excited for. When that emotion hits right when you're reading a certain book. Maybe not direct excitement, but that anticipation of knowing that something is coming. Something good. Something that is helpful to you. Yeah, so it's the goosebumps or hair-raising feeling of excitement, tension, anticipation, of knowing that a thing that you like or that is helpful is coming next. It's like when that part of a song hits just right. And let's draw our next card. The next one is a map card again, a map prompt. There is a familiar scent in the air. Draw what you smell. So, what is this scent? What is this scent? I think I know. Because we have that wind rushing through the... Oh, there it is. I'm getting those goosebumps too as I'm recalling some memories from these games, but we have that wind rushing through the fallen tower, and that tower then starts to shift, I guess, within this place, and a smell and a sound kind of permeate the air. The smell is a bit like sawdust, I think, but not in a dusty, sneezy sense, but like that hearty smell of pine, I think. And the sound morphs from this whistle of the wind to a familiar, I guess harmonious, strum or thrum, of the town screeches behind the left ear, where the town itself was an artisan town of perpetual music, a perpetual tapestry of sound and song. And this is going to be a callback to Ad, our little lemming friend. Maybe we can have some, we'll see what comes with the next prompts, I think, but we can hopefully have a little bit of light in here. Because Adley does remind Mina that fun can be had anywhere, and life can have some fun in it. I don't necessarily know how to draw that on this map. I don't know how to draw a tapestry of sound, but maybe I'll draw a house with a little windmill on it that has chimes or something. But we'll see. Okay. And just like that, we're through the forest. The next place we go, the next deck that we draw from, is the void. The space where absence is loud. Deep, heavy things that you're used to carrying around dwell here. And let's draw our first card. What do you miss most about what you've lost? Okay, so to refresh what it is that we have lost, that is that promise, I guess, or that feeling or presence of the friendship. Well, we haven't lost the friendship between Elagor and Mina, but that promise of coming back to Rosewalk to work in a moth tower together is lost, and Mina is grieving the fact that her friend is no longer, you know, where she left her, maybe. That's not exactly the right thing, but the loss that, I guess, what Mina was expecting to come back to is lost. And there's a little sadness in that because she was looking forward to seeing Ellicor again and wanted to share that the stories. But what do we miss most about that loss? The loss of coming home to see her friend and her not being and them not being there. I think it's a little bit like Inside Out. That's the movie about the emotions, right? Where the sad one touches happy memories and turns them kind of melancholy. I think we see images whistling on this wind around of Mina and Ellicor when they were younger, kind of running around in the garden behind Sully and Lapis's home, the farm home that we'd seen before, and playing with some moths, hiding in the rafters of the barn house, reading stories. And those memories were happy for Mina. They were fun memories with her friend, and they held this understanding, this future of working at the Moth Tower together. They kind of resembled that love of the moths in the mail, I guess, that Ellicor and Mina shared. But now they're a little tinted with sadness because Mina doesn't know if that's going to happen anymore. Partly because of her, but also just in general. It's that lost promise coming back again. Okay, so yeah, Mina misses the old happy memories of her and Ellicor when the two of them were younger. These memories resemble the promise lost, and they are now tinted with a melancholy sadness. Mina wishes that they could be happy again, the memories. With that, let's draw our next card. What have you done to try and fill the empty space left behind? I think this is where we get images of Adly, our little lemming friend, because this is where Mina sees images of her having fun on this journey. She goes back to the moments where there was great beauty, and there were other friends, more friends, and excitement. And she realizes she's seeing all of these things that she has enjoyed, even though she has had a little bit of this sadness about this broken promise growing. I think we see Mina and Adly tumbling somewhere, a little unfortunate, but a sprain in a left ear or something like that. We get some visual laughing here and there. And I think this is just happening all around Mina in those clouds at the moment. She hasn't started walking anywhere yet. She's just standing. So we have a view of the fun times Mina has had on her adventure. Scenes with Adly laughing and tumbling, beautiful views and time spent with new friends. These are all things that she has still valued and has had space for, even though she was holding on to the sadness of the broken promise. And I think maybe a little realization sets in that while she was on her journey, she was kind of feeling the sadness a little bit by feeling selfish that she was having this fun, because she had left Ellicor saying that she would come back and have journeys like this kind of with them. But now Mina is seeing it as those experiences are still valuable to her, and she was still able to feel that joy. And now that Ellicor is also on an adventure, they are going to have times like this as well. And knowing that her best friend is also going to experience things like this, even though it might not be with her, is a little comforting, I think. And let's draw our next card. What about this memory haunts you? Ooh. So we do have a little recognition of Mina kind of feeling a bit okay, but that doesn't mean that there is not still sadness here. So there is sadness in this acceptance, right? Mina is able to say Elicor will have these things as well, will have this excitement, this adventure, this new friend, but she also does feel that part of her that's sad it's not with her. She's still allowed to feel that sadness, even though she knows that it's okay. Because it is hard to say goodbye, even if that goodbye is only brief or not fully in the way that we think of goodbyes. And I think the thing that haunts Mina about this is not specifically about this memory, but about that feeling. Because she started, I think, walking forward a bit through these images as she realized Elicor. Not specifically Elicor, but that this, that Mina didn't have to feel selfish for this time that she had, and that Elicor will now get to experience things like that as well. And those scenes begin to change and whatnot, and I think we're walking through like a tunnel of these clouds and this mist with these scenes going on around Mina. And at the end, we see a familiar scene, but with different characters. We see time. Our little stout caretaker with gods. And time had to work through saying goodbye to some small and forgotten gods. And that's hard, too. And Mina realizes that at that time she was not ready to give something up like that, something that she held with her. And while in time's case that thing was a small and forgotten god, the thing that Mina is holding with her still is this loss that has been growing, this melancholy feeling that had been growing. She understands that it's okay to have all the feelings that she was going through, but it is still scary to say, I'm going to let that go. So we just have this image of Mina probably watching time, holding, I think it was a twig, a family of twigs maybe, a small and forgotten gods, and trying to see if it's time to say goodbye. And maybe, as another visual thing, a ghostly form of Elicor kind of like strides up next to Mina, watching as well. Yeah, I don't think it's deeply haunting, but it's just that little reminder that even though things are okay about an understanding, it can still come back to you and be sad. It's still so hard to let it go completely. That's where she's at. Next card. What lies do you tell yourself about the memory? Why do you tell them? I don't know if Mina is really telling lies about the memory. I think maybe at the time she was to herself. But I don't know if we have the capacity to answer this right now. So we're going to draw another one. What words do you repeat to comfort yourself? Have those words changed over time? I mean, ultimately, yes, they've changed. The words that Mina would use to comfort herself, I think, would have changed along her journey, maybe even. We saw a lot of these phrases that Mina had from Lapis, her caring adoptive mother, about being herself and loving who you are. And these are all good, right? We see Mina sharing these words of wisdom from her mom. So I think a lot of those phrases are things that she would hold on to, and we probably would see her using that to comfort herself within those memories. But as Mina continued on through this journey, I think there are some changes to what those would be. Right? The original words would be things like love yourself and love where you are and you are enough, things like that. And these are all good things. But I think as she journeys and the people that she's met, there are other words that can help her. I think notably, we get some knowledge from our teacher, Manish. From Manish, we have the joy to be found in learning. We also have the troubling knowledge of the past that still comes with that, but those together, I think, can be things that comfort Mina in the way that she can say, there is always more out there. And also, look how far we have come. She knows that there's things to explore and that exploring is exciting. But she also knows that there have been and are troubling things from the past that still haunt the communities around the land. But she knows that there's been major strides in that. So seeing how far she has come, not only the world, how far the world has come, but herself, the changes she's been through, is a word of comfort as well. And I think we also get some of this comfort from our journey with Flomp. Up the mountains, to the moon. It was a sad goodbye. I think we see some images of that, Mina and Flomp on that big chain connecting to the moon, just barely holding on to fingers as Flomp floats up, saying goodbye and thank you for the journey. But Mina feels a note about who you are and how you love. This touches onto the original words from Lapis, but instead of about herself, they are about what she has to share. So I think the words that help Mina comfort herself now are, you have love to share, or something like that. Or you have love to give, or maybe not give, like it's taking away, but you have, maybe it's, you're a light to others as much as yourself. So Mina does tell herself that, you know, there's so much out there now, and we have come a long way from where we began, both in terms of knowledge she has to learn and strides she's made, and that she too can affect things. Yeah. She is not contained within herself. And that's what comforts her, I think, now, over time. We still have those original words from Lapis. She's allowed to love herself and who she is. But she's also allowed to share that love with other people. And I think that's important. So let's draw another card. What lies do others tell you about the memory? So I don't know if there's specifically lies that others tell Mina about the memory, because these feelings are intensely personal in themselves. But the others here, I think, is maybe the world or the land around, which is that there is still grieving and loss, which it's not really a lie either. There is definitely grieving and loss around. But perhaps that internalizes in Mina in this lie that she has to remain grieving as well, just because there is grieving all around her that she can't move on. That's maybe the lie that it's not necessarily people telling her, but that she is receiving internalizing. And I think we see images of this as the scene starts to shift again. We had that view of time and the twigs and Mina with a ghostly Elicor beside her. And in that moment, I think we saw Mina saying these words of comfort, seeing them shift as visions of her journeys with both Manish and Flomp play out in front. But then those are blown away by icy wind. There's this chill in the air, this frost and cold, and we see the outpost where Mina met the spider. Another caretaker, like time, but holding on to things in a different way, as a reminder of those who are still lost. If we remember, the spider was in this kind of forgotten outpost from the war, where they were the last remaining being, and they were still taking care of the small and forgotten gods and those who they used to take care of within the outpost, and did not want to accept that time had moved on and that they were gone. And I don't think that we touched on how that affected Mina much while we were in that session, mostly because I don't know if I had it in me at that moment to play over that grief that she was feeling, or really to deeply dive into the grief of that place. I do love what we found there. But I think we can see some of that here as we are reminded that there are many places like this around the world, around the heath. This is not the only outpost that was forgotten. This is not the only place that the war either touched or forgot about in that way. And this contrasts the little bits of comfort that Mina was feeling. I don't want to stomp out the comfort, but we do get that feeling there of, I guess, selfishness a little bit in that same way that she was feeling towards Elicor, of why, if there's so much of this grief around me, why am I allowed to move on, or I shouldn't be allowed to go past this while there are others sitting in it. And that is, of course, a lie. There's no growth overall if no individual grows, just because the place is still recovering. Recovery is a process that doesn't happen all at once. So that doesn't make it a thing that she can't tell herself here or she can't internalize. Yeah, it's just that pinging of selfishness, I think, a little bit. And maybe we do get a little bit of that, those words under her breath about saying that she does have things to share and help. Like she can affect things as well, and she can hopefully help ease some grief. Perhaps we see some images of Mina collecting that ravel knitted into that sweater, that small and forgotten god, and of moving past. Because in the end, we do see the spider having some acceptance. And that is something, too. But that doesn't stop Mina from feeling the world telling her this. So let's draw the next one. What does thinking about this memory compel you to do? Are you afraid of this compulsion? Okay, that's actually a pretty good one. So I think this is a pretty simple one, because the memory coming off of this acknowledgement of grief around the land, and this callback and image of that spider I think, compels Mina to do everything, try and do everything. She wants to go help what she can't. This compulsion to do everything and give everything until there is no more. This compulsion to just go until you burn out. And that is terrifying. Mina is afraid of that, because she does tell herself that she has something to share, but it's also a fear of, is that enough? Yeah, and that's it. Well, I think maybe what happens here is we have a view of someone else Mina met who was pushing their hardest. Seemed like they were trying to give everything until there was no more. We were searching for a bountiful place of food with Miss Gainsborough, the wolf. And I think that that sweeping image of, or that sweeping wind of cold blows away to another image where we just see her trudging through deep snow, trying to get somewhere that we don't know. We don't know if this is a present, a future, or a past image of her, but Mina remembers traveling with someone pushing their hardest. And it seems that she is still going, and that is something to maybe be hopeful for, that you can push your hardest and keep going, but it's hard and it's scary. There's something needed to be drawn on. But also Mina knows that pushing this hard for Miss Gainsborough was not to do everything for the entire world, but to help her community, which maybe pulls in that radius a bit, shrinks that in Mina's mind of the things that she should or can affect and help. But yeah, let's draw the next card. How have you kept what you've lost? I think this is an easy question, maybe quick, because Mina still has the stamps, and letters, and the map of the moons, the moon chart that Elicor gave her. So that has that sentimental value in it. So she still has kept a little bit of what she's lost there. Elicor is still with her. I mean, Elicor's not gone. Elicor's not dead, but Elicor is away. And Mina still has a little bit of her friend with her in the form of the stamps and whatnot. So I think we probably do see Mina clutching some stamps to her chest there. And probably begins to trudge through that snowy wind as well. Next card. And we have a map prompt card. A loud noise shakes you to your core. Draw what overwhelms you. Oh, this is perfect, because there's another eerie and loud noise that Mina remembers shaking her on her journey. The howl of the devil dog rings out through the snowy landscape, causing all that snow and wind to disperse. And once again, we are left with just this eerie fog. We heard this howl when we were with Russell, another firelight, attempting to cross more, so that Mina could continue on her journey after a very tiring trip. So we were met with what appears to be a wide field with this fog over it again. It looks maybe kind of like the fields that we had seen at the beginning outside of Rosewalk when Mina entered this fog, this cloud. But yeah, we have that overwhelming sound that blows this all away. And it probably does scare Mina a little bit, even though at the end of that arc, even that episode, the devil dog quote was just another firelight searching for someone else. But I'll draw that in. Don't really know. That looks like a T-Rex. I was going to draw a wolf or something, but I guess that'll be our devil dog. It's got a boot on. Oh, it's kind of cute. And again, so was that Devil Dog. But it's maybe a little still overwhelming. And it's howling. Yeah, there we go. That's good enough. The howl of the Devil Dog, a reminder of a journey with Russell. It blows away most of the fog and clouds, leaving us left with what may look like the fields outside of Rosewalk again. Let's pull out our next deck of cards. The last one. Stars. Look to the stars. Your hopes, fantasies, and wishes are your own. While you are here, nobody can take them away from you. Let's draw our card. How would you like for your reality to change? What would that change look like? I think Mina wants to find someplace new. She would like there to be a rhythm. Something simple to just continue to follow. Maybe a goal. And we call back to Miss Gainsborough with the goal guiding her. And I think we get another image of Amina on top of a tower. A tall, tall tower. Where there were a bunch of, termite moth tenders. With Eggbone looking out across the vast heath. In the distance, we can see a wall of ice, because Eggbone had a goal as well, to find a home. Maybe that's what Mina would like for this reality change as well, a home, a place to go, that goal. But that rhythm of working towards that, I think she would like. And maybe it would look like traveling with the same person for a while, instead of being mostly alone and changing up things. Or maybe it would look like settling down somewhere. But I think an image that shows of that quickly gets wiped away, because the idea of newness is important. She wants a goal to work towards. She thinks she wants a rhythm to guide her along the way. Maybe a view of her traveling with a more constant companion. Less change, but not so little that she doesn't get to travel. That's not saying that that's the best thing, but maybe she thinks that's what she wants. A true home, and to be able to recover from her losses. Next card. What do you want to take with you? Mina wants to take strength and motivation, I think. Or at least a grip. We know that she is overwhelmed by the size of her journey. So she wants to be able to hold on to those comforting words. And hold on to her current journey. Look at the place around her instead of wondering about what is ahead. She also wants to take with her the acceptance that Elicor is going to have an adventure of their own as well. And I think maybe we were on the top of that tall, tall tower, and Mina lays down and takes the chance to look up at the stars here, and is seeing these things in the stars, I guess, while her thoughts are going along. And the next card. Name the path you take. That's the last one. We didn't have a lot in the stars, but here we are. How does this come about? I think while Mina is laying down looking at the stars, the scene shifts as well in her perspective, and maybe a little bit of the physics, I guess, because she ends up walking forward as well until she sees a tree. We didn't get the tree at the beginning, but we have it here now. And this is a particular tree, as the mist begins to clear around her as she starts to leave the crossroads. This tree is called the Star-Crossed Lovers. Split in two down the middle, two halves of this tree being pulled apart by nature but still holding on. This was from that poem that we had at the beginning of that the episodes with Baldwin, the poet, whom we know has a connection to, or maybe a little crush on. And at the base of that tree, there are some cocoons of moths. And we see the paths in front of us. One is to these cocoons, to this tree. Mina has this book of poems in her hands again. And the other is fog, I guess? Mist, misty, twisting up back towards that tower, I think, behind Mina. But we don't see the tower. We just see that if you want to go back to the crossroads, this is where you can. But Mina doesn't. She's not ready yet. Or she's ready. She holds on to that book of poems again. She has these images in her mind. She holds on to memories she's enjoyed with Baldwin. In my notes about this, I have the promise of a future to come, but maybe haunted by a lost opportunity. I don't think it's haunted anymore, because Mina has held on to it's okay to let things go, it's okay to lose things. You can hold on to letting things go. But an unplaced kiss. Mina was a little worried about that crush, but all right now, because she has a book dedicated and walks towards these trees. Even if things in nature is trying to pull us apart, we can still hold on to the things that are important. And she picks up these cocoons, these moth cocoons, and says, "Oh, don't worry. I'll take care of you. We can travel together." And turns around, and the mist is gone. The sun has risen, and she leaves this little forested grove to see the fields of Rosewalk beginning to be tilled by all the farmers as a new year, new till soil begins. And she makes her way across the fields home to say goodbye to her mother before she heads out again. And that's that. Wow, okay. Again, this has been Crossroads, a game at the intersection of grief and hope by Sebastian Yue. And you can find Crossroads and other games by Sebastian at sebastianyue.itch.io. And there will be a link to that in the episode description if this is up. Thank you so much. And I'll see you in season 2. Cheers.